Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Open your Bible, please, to Exodus, the book of Exodus. So tonight, we're going to continue on our study of the names of God. What's in a name? And it's going to take us a while, and I might even revisit this name of God when I get back. There's more, I think, than I can really unfold tonight in this. But tonight we're going to continue with all of these beautiful names. This is what we looked at last week, by the way. Jehovah, read them all with me. Just the name off the left-hand side, and I'll be listening to you very carefully on that last one, all right? So Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Ra'ah, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Sabaoth. Everybody say that with me, Sabaoth. And then Jehovah Mekedishikim. Turn to somebody and say, nice try, nice try. But so tonight, you know, obviously the name of Jehovah is a big name. And I love the way it's attached to so many other names. So much is packed into that name, Jehovah or Yahweh. And so God, throughout the scripture, because there is so much about the name of God, the power of God, the majesty of God, that throughout scripture, God has chosen to give us some amazing clues about what's in that name. And last week, we talked about the fact that there is provision in the name of Yahweh. How many of you would add something to what we talked about last night as far as all those different elements of provision that God gives us? What would you say? What does God provide for you? Or what has God provided for you lately? A house. Oh, health too. Anybody provide a house for you? Yes, I know of a family that he did. What else has he provided? Food, yes. Thank you, Lord, for the food in my belly, yes. Salvation. What's that? Faith? Okay, what else?
Rest.
A wife, yes. And children and grandchildren, and what else? Yeah. Hope. What else? Peace, fellowship. I heard something back here. Your foot? He healed your foot? It's healed. Praise God, praise God. We're going to talk about that tonight. Anything else? Comfort. Anything else? If you're in the back, shout it out. Wisdom. And so, you know, keep track of that. You're almost adding your own names to what it is that God provides. So that this God of ours who provides, he's the one that gives us everything that we need. And you each probably you'd have your own list of what God has provided. But those are clues. All of these names here are clues about what is in that name. And he does it by coupling with that name, Yahweh, with another word that adds content to who God is and what he wants to accomplish in us and for us. And I always want to add this one. It's not just, oh, Lord, do this for me, do this for me. What he wants to accomplish through us. So it goes past just us. It goes to the people that we get to encounter, the people that we bump into, the people that God places on our path day after day. And I hope you've been seeing that. I'll tell you, I spent a couple of days visiting a hospital this week. And by the time I went in today, I was so over the top impressed with the staff in this hospital. How many of you have been in a lot of hospitals? Anybody but me? I've been in a lot of hospitals in what God's called me to do. You end up visiting folks that aren't doing well physically. And I've never been in a hospital that had this kind of a staff where there was compassion and there was joy and there was assistance and there was gentleness. It was just, and you're wondering, where is that hospital? It was St. Jude Hospital up in Fullerton. And there was just there was almost like a sweetness among the staff. And on my way out today, I had to stop every staff member that I saw and said, you guys are amazing. There's so much compassion here. And you just feel like you're walking among family that really care about people. I got to tell you this one story where there was not gentleness in this one hospital. Our daughter, Shannon, when she was, how old was she, honey, when she had appendicitis? 7 or 8? Seventh birthday. How did I forget that? But on her 7th birthday, and so we took her into the hospital, and she was scared. I mean, you remember being 7 years old, going to a hospital and you see somebody come towards you with a needle. I'm scared. You know, I'm 72 and I hate needles. But Shannon just wouldn't have it. And she was squirming. And the nurse reached around like this under her knees, doubled her up and jammed that needle right into her butt. And I don't think I've ever said butt in church before. Something in me arose at that point. And I waited until she left the room. And I said, I don't know if I said this, but honey, I'll be right back. And I went out to that nurse. And I said, you will never touch my daughter like that again. And a round of applause would have been nice for that. No, I'm just kidding. But this I was just so touched by how gentle this whole staff of people was. And I don't know why I got into that and why I lost my train of thought on that. But what I want to talk about tonight, let's jump into it. I want to talk about Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the Lord heals, Jehovah who heals us. And you're going to find that in Exodus chapter 15. Now, I want to also give you some homework on healing, because when I come back, and there's going to be other people teaching while I'm gone on Wednesday night. Don't play hooky on Wednesday nights. Shaddy is going to be preaching, as long as I think somebody else as well. But when I come back, I want to pick up where we left off on this God who heals us. The God who reaches down and whatever is broken, God can fix it. How many of you believe that? There's nothing unfixable for God. But your homework, here's some verses on healing. I'll leave this up on the screen. I hope I got it up on the screen. There it is. And just take a picture of that, and that'll be some homework for you to look up. And there's tons of other places in the Bible that talk about healing. And the God who doesn't, God never comes to the place and thinks, what can I do about that? Nothing stumps him. There's nothing that is impossible for God. And I'll give you a couple of verses that we'll read together up on the screen in a moment. But God can do anything. So there's some homework. We're talking about a God who can do it all. Amen? Nothing is impossible for him. So I want you to read with me, follow along with me as we move through the first part here tonight of, where did I tell you to turn? Exodus. Thank you. Exodus 15. Exodus 15. You know what's happened just before Exodus 15? Exodus 14 happened right before it. You know what the scene was? Amazing. The absolutely impossible. Maybe the greatest physical miracle ever. God parts the literal sea, the Red Sea. And it's astounding what God did in chapter 14. And so when you see this amazing water miracle, by the way, there's another water miracle we're going to look at tonight, the Red Sea parting, God doing the impossible, delivering his people from over 400 years of harsh slavery. And we read that at the beginning of Exodus. And he walked his people across the seabed on dry land. There's another miracle. He stirred up the winds that dried up the soppy bottom of the sea, and he destroyed the Egyptian armies. None of them survived. And then you listen to them in chapter 15 as they start to sing. You'd be singing too if you had just walked through the Red Sea, if you'd just been delivered from slavery, escorted by God through the Red Sea, make it to the other side, and you think, oh yeah, but they're still after us, and you turn around, and whoosh, the waters come back upon your enemies. You would be singing something exactly like this. Look at this. I'm just going to read through the song that you see. See how that part of the Bible is set out like poetry? That's because it was a song. And so here's what it says. You would be joining along. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke out, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea, the Egyptian armies. How many of you remember the song that we used to sing with that? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And in Sunday school, there were some cha-cha-chas after that or something like that. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength. They're still singing. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. And he is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And I love this because the kids are saying, Dad, I want to worship the same God that you worship, the God who got us out of slavery. The Lord is a man of war, and he is. He fights when it's time to fight. The Lord, and when you see Lord there, that means Jehovah. Yahweh is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea, the Egyptian captains. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord. You know where Jesus sits? At the right hand of the Father. I think that's a hint on where Jesus was during this, where the Son of God, he was involved in this amazing victory here. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. What did God ever be so angry about? Well, 400 years of harsh slavery of his people, whom God had appointed and called to be his people, through whom he would bring who? Jesus, the Messiah. They tried to destroy them. They took them captive, but they will never be destroyed. The nation of Israel will never be destroyed. Came close. Hitler did all he could to eliminate the Jewish people as a nation, and he failed. Verse 8 says, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea, and the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. And you blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. And they sank like lead in the mighty waters. How could there not have been a song written about that incredible event? You know, I don't know how quickly this song came together, but here they were singing it on the other side of the Red Sea, just after the victory. Verse 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Answer, no one. Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? What's the answer? No one. You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You've guided them in your strength, in your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. The people there probably refers to the nations. And listen, the nations did hear. What nations heard? Well, the nations that were in the land that would become the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan. We talked about this maybe even last time, how when the spies go in to Jericho, they're told to go on in, and where do they go to? Whose house? Rahab the harlot. And Rahab said, what? What took you so long? 40 years, what took you so long to get here? What took them so long? Well, God was working the unbelief out of many of them. But she said, we heard about what happened down at the Red Sea. Of course they heard about him. The people will hear and they will be afraid. And so sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. And then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, just naming nations that were all around them, land masses around them. The mighty men of Moab on the other side of the Jordan River. Trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread. That those were the seven nations in the land of Canaan that God told them, I'm sending you into a land where there's seven nations. You remember what he said, how he described those seven nations? They're bigger than you are, and they're tougher than you are. And I wonder how many of those warriors said, well, then let's go someplace else if there's more of them and they're tougher than we are. Seven times God said to them, through the end of Deuteronomy and the beginning of Joshua, seven times God speaks to the people of Israel, where he says, you're going in to a nation where the inhabitants are greater than you are. There's more of them and they're tougher than you are. But be of good courage. That would be Moses telling Joshua and Joshua telling the people, be of good courage. So he names some of them here. Verse 16, fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as stone till your people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over whom you have purchased, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. What a song. Then it says, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. A place where they would serve him and where they would worship him. The Lord, read verse 18 with me. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And then the song is over, and then, but the statement continues, for the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Who was the leader of the Jewish people? What was his name? What was his name? Moses was the leader. So what was his sister's name? There it is right there. Miriam's been listening to the song, probably singing along with everybody. And listen to this. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel, little cymbals, in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. A party is still going on over the deliverance that they had experienced. And Miriam answered them, singing what she had just heard sung over the whole nation. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. There they are, pouring out their praise to God. Listen to them sing the praises. I will sing to the Lord. Because he's won the victory. The horse and the rider, they're gone. All of our enemies. And then Miriam the prophetess, as she sings back. And then God says, all right, now, you're ready to move on? Are you ready to go towards the land? And so off they go. Look at the next part, just this last part of the same chapter. In verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So they're marching 3 days deeper into the wilderness. We were out in Palm Springs area, down in La Quinta, the southern end. Is it southern or the eastern end of the valley for the couples retreat. And I love to get up in the morning and walk early. And so I took my flag down there and I took my red version of this t-shirt and I walked up and down, Washington Boulevard or Washington Avenue. And then I just said, hey, I want to walk down on Highway 111. You know, heading towards Palm Desert. So I walked down there for 3 days and about an hour in the morning. But this one morning, and it was the first morning I walked, I started at about 6:40. And I remember because I looked at 6:41. And I thought, well, I got to be back in an hour. And I had my bottle of water, but I forgot to take it with me. And it was 92 degrees at 6:41 in the morning. It was 96 degrees an hour later when I got back, not having had the water with me, at least on one of those days. And they went for 3 days with no water. Probably had some water to begin with. You're walking through the wilderness, you're walking through the desert, you get thirsty and you drink up all your water. Of course, there's water down the road. You know, there's streams everywhere, but there were no streams. And so they go out and God led them forth, or it says Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and then they went down into the wilderness and they come to this bitter water and the people who had just been singing, joyfully singing, look what God did. Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The people, read verse 24 with me. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Can you say that with a little bit of a grumble, please? One, two, three. "What shall we drink? Oh, you want to put it this way? Oh, great, Moses. Yeah, really, really good job, Moses. Are you going to take us all the way to the promised land? What are we going to drink, dude? Our canteens are empty." And so the grumbling begins. And it's going to go on for a while. Just this complaint, moving on, super thirsty. And their song of blessing turns into a bitter complaint at this point. What are we going to do? Isn't that just like us? I'm not going to point at you, but if you want to point at you, is that like any of you? It's like me so often. You know, Jehovah Jireh gives us another miracle, a day of breath. That's a miracle. Every day is just, you know, you look around at the dangerous universe that we live in. None of us should have survived. Our planet should have been knocked closer to the sun long time ago. I think baseball came from, you know, God inspiring somebody to do what he's been doing ever since he planted this earth, just, you know, batting, you know, asteroids away from the earth and protecting us. And so how many times does God do something amazing and then we hit a little what? We hit a little bitter water. We hit a bitter time and our joy jumps out the window. And oh, great God. Oh, I thought you were good. Oh, you let me down, God. And sometimes he leads you into a corner so that you'll look to him, so that you'll trust in him, so that you'll realize you can't do it on your own. Has anybody been convinced on that? You can't do it on your own. You're not a self-made man or a woman. You were made by God to know him and to love him and to serve him. But then our level of peace, it just plummets. Do you know anyone like that? You know anyone that has that tendency? You know, where Jehovah Jireh gives you another miracle and then suddenly the bitter water hits. And what do you do? What do I do when the water turns bitter and the news turns bad? When something happens in your family, or something happens to you, or something happens in your health, or something happens with your job. And what do you do when your candidate doesn't win in November? What do you do? Or the impossible situation arises. You ever have one of those, okay, God, what's up with this? Why are you letting this happen to me? I think in all honesty, a lot of us have had that. And you remember, what you do then, you remember who God is. You remember that God is still God. He's still the God who heals. He's still the God who provides. And all the other names of God we're going to be studying over the weeks and months to come. And he heals in many, many different ways. There's healing that goes beyond physical healing. Physical healing is tremendous, but there's emotional healing. There's psychological healing. There's the healing and the driving away of the confusion. How many of you could say that where I am today, I shouldn't be here today, but for God? But God stepped in to my confusion. God stepped into my rebellion. I was telling somebody earlier today about, you know, in just the basics of my testimony and what kind of a person I was, and you know, how I was I was so hungry for more drugs. My generation in the late 1960s, this will light you up. Oh yeah, it would light us up all right. Just about burn us out. I had friends who lost their mind, lost their sanity by the answers that were being passed around by my generation, by people like me. And you come to Christ with a confused mind, and he loves to heal the heart and the mind and the soul. He loves to break addictions. How many of you have had God work in a way in your life where you would say, he breaks addictions? Let me see the hands of those who have been set free. He loves to do that. What does it require from me? Cooperation with him. Yes, faith in him. We'll talk more about that in a second. But the healing of the breaking of addiction, the healing of relationships, the healing of a rebellious nation. God has done that many times down through the ages, turning a wayward nation around. And I've only lived in this nation. I've only lived at this time in history. But I'm sure there are testimonies and stories of other nations where God got their attention and bought them a whole bunch more years as they turned towards him and stopped running from him. Whether it's an individual or a family or a nation or a school or a tribe of people, God loves to turn those things around. Healing of rebellious nations. God does it in powerful ways. We read about that in Scripture. So how many of you believe that God can heal anything? Do you really believe he can heal anything? Well, let me ask you. What has God healed in you? Who here has a testimony, just in a word, to identify the category of what God has healed in your life? Yep. Broken heart. Amen. Anybody else say amen? What else has he healed? Has God been healed? Yes. Broken faith? Amen. Amen. Restoring faith. Anybody else? What has he healed? Yes. Say that again. An anxious mind. Gave you his peace. Huh? Shalom. What else? Fear. Fear. Any healing in families? You seen any healing in family relationships? Just say maybe a relationship between you and another person. God loves to heal that. You know what? You know why? Because that's the restoration of love. And there's nothing that reflects the character of God more than love. And us walking in peace with one another. If you have a story of something that Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, has healed in you, then tell your story. I got to tell you the story here, don't I? We got to finish the chapter. So here where he says, what are you going to do? What shall we drink? Verse 25, so he cried out, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it, not the whole tree, but when he cast the branches of the tree, I suppose, or the leaves of the tree into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute, not a statue. God never told us to make statues, but a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, now listen carefully. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For, read with me, I am the Lord who heals. I am who? I am who? I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, the God who still heals. I am that God. I think it's important to notice this, that he speaks to them here in verse 26 again. If you diligently heed my voice, that goes beyond hearing it, but obeying it. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right, now that you know what is right, that you do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments. In other words, read them. Open your Bible and get to know the word of God and what he says. To his people in the Old Testament and to us under the New Covenant. It's, you know, all of the law, what did Jesus say? All the law comes down into these two. You know this. This is an easy quiz. You can all, you know, if it was Jeopardy, you all should, you know, get the double on this. But what did he say? All the law, all the prophets come down to these two things. Love the Lord your God. With what? Everything you are, your heart, soul, mind, and your strength. And then what? Look around. Look around. Love those people too. Love the people in the middle of your road. Love the family of God. Love people. So he says, heed, listen to my commandments, give ear to my commandments and keep his statutes. And he said, I'll put none of the diseases on you, which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord. I am Jehovah Rapha who brings healing. And they would walk in wholeness. And then it says, they moved on. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. So the waters were healed there at Marah. The bitter waters were turned sweet. They filled up their canteens and their water bags, and they walked on down the road to Elim, and there were 12 wells of water, and somebody counted the palm trees. I don't know why that's important, but there were 70 palm trees, and so they camped there by the waters. And I can imagine the sweet conversation that night when they got to the sweet waters. Like, oh, that's more like it. Hopefully somebody said, but did we learn our lesson? To trust God in times like this. The God who doesn't change. The God who is still always faithful. How many of you, I won't ask you for a show of hands, just a question, not a rhetorical question, but a question to take to heart. I wonder how many here realize, God, I need healing. No, I'm not just talking about physical healing. Not like physical healing is just unimportant. It is. But relational healing. Maybe a healing in the area of your hope, a restoration. God heals all kinds of things. And he does heal nations. And I'm praying that he does heal this nation. But what is broken in you that needs to be healed tonight? Because Jehovah, or Yahweh, same name, two different languages. Yahweh is the God who heals. He's the God who restores. And it's not too hard for him. Let me give you a few of my favorite passages from the scriptures about the God who doesn't change. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, read this with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give me a list. Let's work up just the beginning of a list. Give me one or two, or maybe we can get up to 10 or 12 of just identifying the stories where Jesus Christ did the impossible and he healed somebody. Put your hand up, I'll call on you, and we'll put together a list. Jesus healed, that's a healing, isn't it? Did Lazarus have anything to do with that healing? Not a thing. He's gone. But the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Give me something else. What was that? The blind man? Which one? The one where he spit in his eye? That's an amazing miracle. What was that?
All of them.
Oh, all of them. We'll just bundle them all together. Can you imagine being the blind man? And you hear Jesus getting ready to heal you with the spit. And I don't know if he goes deep into his throat when he goes, oh, no, I won't do that to you tonight. Somebody else. We got two. Let's get some more. Healing. The leper. Yep. He got it. Oh, it's very leprosy over here. Yep. The woman with the issue of blood for years and years. Demon-possessed man set free. The healing of the mind and the heart. Yeah. What's that? The centurion servant. Yeah. Jairus' daughter. Anybody else? Yes. Lowered down. Had some friends working on that one too. Owner of the house looks up and says, oy vey, you know. But the woman just who touched his robe. Yeah, the corner of his garment. The paralyzed man. Yeah. Restored Peter, yeah. Saul's blindness. He gave it to him, and then he took it from him, yeah. Anybody else? Of the soldier? Yeah, the centurion, yeah. You know, make your list of those things and then tell yourself when you see them, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I can't explain to you why some people get healed and some people don't. But you know what happens to every one of those people whom Jesus healed? You know where they are now? Well, they're gone. Hopefully they're in heaven. Hopefully they trusted him. They didn't just come for the healing, but something else got them. Where's Lazarus? That poor dude had to die again. Something else would get him. Every healing here is temporary. It lasts until the end of your life. And we've watched God reach in and raise us up at times and touch our children's lives as well. Because Jesus Christ, read it one more time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about this one? James chapter 4, verse 2. Oh no, that's a different one. I copied it and I copied the same one. Let me find it for you. The Lord just heal this slide right here. No. James chapter 4. Somebody's probably faster than me and you're already there. You have not because you ask not. You know, if you don't ask for it, you'll never. You'll never know that it was a gift from God if it comes. So anyway, put that one in there. Okay, now the next one is this one. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Oh, I love this passage. Every time I pray for somebody for physical healing, this is on my lips and in my heart. Let's read together. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm, not our arm. There is, read it loud now, there is nothing too hard for you. Remind yourself of that. You know, when I pray that way, I'm not reminding God of that. I'm just telling him, Lord, I know this. And when I pray for somebody and I lay my hands on them or I anoint them with oil and I pray for that healing, this is in my heart. This is in my mind. Oh, Lord God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and stretching out your arms. Nothing's too hard for you. This is not too hard for you. And approach God with that faith. Now, I hope the second one here is not the same as, yeah, there we go. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Let's read it. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Why? Because God is Jehovah Rapha. Because he's mightier than you can ever imagine. Do you believe that God can heal anything? Do you ask him to heal you, to heal your children, to heal your friends, to restore those marriages, to restore confused minds, to bring back sanity, to restore hope? I was praying for somebody this week, just asking God to just restore hope for freedom, to walk in a new way. And I believe with all of my heart, he's going to do it. Remember who this God is that you talk to, who heals in so many different ways. Whatever category it is, it doesn't matter. God can get it done. Jehovah Rapha is ready to step in. Jot down these suggestions, okay? God is I believe that God, Jehovah Rapha, is ready to step in to whatever's broken in you or in me. And if there's steps to it, number one, invite him. Call on him. Say, Lord, please come and move in our midst, in our family. Touch this brother or sister's body, mind, heart, soul. Invite him in. Secondly, expect him to respond in his time. You got to trust the timing to God. Sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's not. Third thing, remind yourself about who God is. Feed your heart. If your heart's anything like mine, we forget. And we get other data, whichever is the right way to say that these days. But we get other inputs that will convince us, it's just a fairy tale. God doesn't do that anymore. I believe that he does. Remind yourself who God is. Revive your confidence in him. And can I suggest that you do what the people in chapter 14 did of Exodus? Sing to God. Restart the song of praise to God for what he has done. And tell him you're trusting him for what he's going to do next. Because God still is a healer. And I want to share a song with you guys. I got in here late, so I didn't ask Jesse if I could borrow his guitar. So don't tell him that I borrowed it. And I'll see if I can remember to step on the right box down here. There it is, after I plug it in. We heard this song many, many years ago. Came out of Australia. And when I heard it, I instantly loved this song. It's called My Healer, and I'll let the guys in the back advance it. Is that coming through? It's probably. Can you guys hear it? I'll teach it to you. You hold my head more. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire, and you heal all my disease. And I trust in you. I trust in you. And I believe you're my portion. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Stand together and sing. You hold my every moment, and you calm my rage and sea. Walk with me through fire. You walk with me through fire. You heal all my disease. And I trust in you. I trust in you. And I believe you're my healer. And I believe that you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hand. How many of you believe that? Nothing is impossible for you. Let's sing that again. Because nothing is impossible. For you, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands, and I believe you're my healer. So I believe you're my healer. And I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. And I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need.
you're all I need.
We've sung about it. Why don't we pray about it right now? Is there anybody here tonight that you just need God to do something that others might think impossible? Maybe it's physical healing. Maybe it's relationship healing. Maybe it's direction, but you need it. Right now, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. Have some people come around you and pray for you right here, right now. Keep those hands up. If your hand's not up, look around for somebody whose hand is up. I want you to walk over to them. And let's pray over them right now. How many of you, it's physical healing? Is there anybody, it's physical healing? Okay. So let's pray. How many of you believe that nothing is too hard for God? You believe that? And let's just ask Him right now. Lord, You say in Your Word, You can do anything. Nothing is impossible for You. Nothing is impossible for You. Father, for those tonight that need healing, God, we pray that the healing power of Your Spirit would come upon them. Your Word even says that everything is reconciled by the blood of Jesus. So we pray for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ come upon their bodies right now, Lord. Maybe it's their mind right now. Maybe it's a relationship. Oh, Father God, would You come and bring healing there and restore love and grace and kindness. Oh, Father God, we pray in Jesus' name for those who are just facing another kind of impossibility. Maybe it is a disease. Maybe it's finance. Oh, God, hear the cries of Your people tonight as we ask You, Lord, be the God who heals, the God who provides, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, come and move, Lord, among this place, among these people, on hearts, Father God, and minds and souls. God, I pray for anybody tonight. They know when they came in that they wouldn't have called themselves a Christian, a follower of Jesus, but they're ready right now this evening, Lord, to say, Jesus, take my life and forgive my sin. They're ready to become Yours, Lord. Hear their prayer as they lift it to You. And if that's you tonight, just say it out loud to God. Say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. I want to follow You. I want to know You. Let Him do what He wants to do in you tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let's sing this out loud over this congregation right now. You hold my head. Moment. You calm my raging sea. You calm my raging sea. Walk with me. You walk with me through fire. You heal all my disease. Let's tell Him, I trust, and I trust in You. Trust in You. Tell Him I believe, and I believe You're my healer. I believe You are all I need. I believe You're my portion, and I believe You're my portion. I believe You're more than enough for me. Jesus, You're all I need. Again, Jesus, You're all. Jesus, You're all I need. Jesus, You're all I need. Amen, Lord. There's nothing too hard for You, Lord. You really are, bottom line, all that we need. Help us to walk with You, Lord, in simplicity and in the simplicity of faith and love and grace and confidence. And Father, may we be, even beyond what I experienced among that staff at that hospital, may we be the kindest, most compassionate, most loving, most grace-filled people that this city has ever encountered. Not just while we're here in this place, but as we are dispensed into this world that needs kindness and love and truth and hope. So fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and use us to bring hope in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Grace and peace to you tonight. Let's go walk in his love for one another. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.